Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today we are talking about the tightening of fresh targeted sanctions imposed on President Emmerson Mnangagwa, his wife Auxilia, several ZANU-PF and government officials and entities said to be working with those accused of human rights violations and corruption. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. Here in the United States, Super Tuesday, the night that has been known to make or break candidates in the past, is over. More convention delegates are awarded on Super Tuesday than any other night of the campaign year. 15 states and a U.S. territory conducted primaries and caucuses for the Democratic and Republican presidential candidates. VOA's senior Washington correspondent Caroline Pesuriti brings us the highlights and tells us what's next.
It is the biggest night yet in the presidential campaign, and former President Donald Trump comes out the victor on the Republican side.
We're going to make America great again, greater than ever before. Thank you very much. It's been a big night.
The former president won all but one of the states on Tuesday and leads rival Nikki Haley by hundreds of delegates. The former U.N. ambassador won Vermont on Tuesday and Washington, D.C. over the weekend.
The reason I'm doing this is for my kids and your kids and your grandkids.
On the Democratic side, President Joe Biden was by far the winner on Super Tuesday, except for losing American Samoa. The president released a statement asking Americans, are we going to keep moving forward or will we allow Donald Trump to drag us backwards? Haley had hoped more voters, even Democrats, would choose her as an anti-Trump vote, but it proved difficult to get enough primary voters to adopt the strategy.
My primary concern this election is the preservation of America as I know it, which means leadership that is not Donald Trump. So whether that is supporting President Joe Biden or whether that is, you know, casting a vote for a more moderate Republican, either achieves that goal.
Reg Mitchell disagrees.
Donald Trump. Four more years if we can do it. The first four went well as far as I was concerned.
Younger voters are turned off by the advanced ages of the former and current president. First-time voter Donna Mendez chose Democrat Marianne Williamson.
I feel like Biden's getting too old to, I guess, run a country for another 4 years. And it would be nice to have, like, diversity in the office, especially first woman president.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one.
With tonight's wins, former President Donald Trump could get enough delegates to lock up the Republican nomination as early as next Tuesday when four more states vote. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Arlington, Virginia.
Back to our topic, the United States, which on Monday imposed and reinforced targeted sanctions on the ZANU-PF leadership, including President Emmerson Mnangagwa, his deputy, retired General Constantino Chiwenga, Defense Minister Opam Chinguri Kashiri, and several others, says it is concerned about human rights violations and rampant corruption in Zimbabwe. The fresh line of sanctions is under the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Program for Human Rights Abuses and Corruption, recommended by the United States Congress. President Joseph Biden on Monday also scrapped the sanctions measures that were being administered through presidential decrees. The current sanctions will be handled by the Office of Foreign Assets Control, which also controls measures under the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act, or ZEDERA. The letter is still in full force. ZANU-PF says these sanctions are illegal and should be removed. Meanwhile, in Harare today, the United States Embassy in Zimbabwe's Charged Affairs, Lawrence Socha, told reporters that his country is committed in ensuring that sanctions are relevant, timely, and targeted against those most closely connected to corruption and serious human rights abuses, including President Emmerson Mnangagwa. on the Zimbabwe Democracy Economic Recovery Act, ZIDERA, Socha explained.
The United States is committed to ensuring our sanctions are timely, relevant, and targeted against individuals responsible for corruption and serious human rights abuses. In Zimbabwe, we continue to witness gross abuses of political, economic, and human rights. The targeting of civil society and severe restrictions on political activity have stifled fundamental freedoms, while key actors, including government leaders, have siphoned off government resources for personal gains. Sanctions on these individuals and entities do not represent a sanction on Zimbabwe or its public. The United States reaffirms its commitment to working with the people of Zimbabwe. This sanctions transition makes clear what has always been true. U.S. sanctions are not on the country of Zimbabwe. We are refocusing our sanctions on specific and clear individuals and entities. We continue to urge the government of Zimbabwe to take concrete steps to more open and democratic governance, including addressing corruption and protecting human rights.
On the Zimbabwe Democracy Economic Recovery Act, ZIDERA, Socha explained.
The Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act has not changed. But ZIDERA is not a sanction. We've never invoked ZIDERA to oppose international financial institution loans or debt restructuring. ZIDERA outlines a clear roadmap for governments of Zimbabwe to access concessional financing and possible debt restructuring. But this can only happen once the government of Zimbabwe has paid its outstanding debt arrears to the international community. Messaging on ZIDERA might be catchy, but ZIDERA is not the problem. ZIDERA is not the cause of Zimbabwe's economic troubles. Decades of economic mismanagement and widespread corruption are, and they have directly caused lasting economic impacts.
However, the Zimbabwe government says as long as the ZIDERA is in effect and President Mnangagwa is under sanctions, Zimbabwe is still under siege. And the government just released a statement condemning the illegal, what it terms illegal U.S. sanctions on Zimbabwe. The statement says that heinous act, which the United States of America passed unilaterally and outside the confines and auspices of international law and the United Nations respectively, was given effect through a series of equally illegal executive orders by successive presidents of the U.S., by which the U.S. government sought to make laws and punitive policies for a sovereign African state with which it shares neither common geography nor history and against which it has no defensible legal case. The statement I read adds that the Zimbabwe government condemns whatever the sanctions are meant to do and demand that the Biden administration provides evidence in support of these gratuitous accusations, fail of which the administration must, without any further delay, withdraw them unconditionally. And that's the government saying that the allegations that there is a human rights abuse and corruption are not true. And because of that, the Zimbabwe government has also announced that it will continue trying to work towards the re-engagement. President Emmerson Mnangagwa, last time when he was addressing the United Nations, also talked about the issue of corruption. And President Mnangagwa is the first African president to be punished under the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Act. And as I said, he once told the UN General Assembly that targeted sanctions should be removed. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth, when we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today, we are discussing fresh targeted sanctions imposed on President Emmerson Mnangagwa, his inner circle, and some private companies for human rights violations and corruption. To discuss this in depth, we are now joined by independent political analyst, Mr. Tawanda Zokora, who is a former CCC member in North Dakota, Professor Elliot Masocha, who is in Ohio, both in the United States, and in Harare, we have Mr. Richard Runyararo Mahomva, who is the Director for International Communications. Let me start with you, Professor Masocha. What do you say about the action by the United States government on the issue of sanctions?
Well, what President Biden did to pass an executive order, it's a good thing. It's a beginning of maybe good things to re-engage with the Zimbabwean government, only if the Zimbabwean government is not going to be so much aggressive in denying what the United States have always said and provided evidence, because don't claim that there have never been evidence justifying those sanctions ever since they were imposed. That's a big lie. We know evidence has been presented, and we know the Zimbabwean government has given commitment that they are working towards it. So I think everything will begin by accepting, the reasons why sanctions have been imposed, and make a commitment to work towards, ending that, so that all sanctions are going to be lifted. Of course, we can, celebrate that. That's a good step. But when the president and the vice president of a country are still on sanctions, we are not going anywhere. We need to keep on re-engaging. We need to keep on, looking at ourselves and see what we have done, and also present to the United States evidence that we have done what they have demanded us to do.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Mahomva, your take on the removal of sanctions and the placing of President Emmerson Mnangagwa and 10 other individuals on targeted sanctions?
Let me start off responding to the submission by my esteemed colleague, who has just indicated that Zimbabwe has an obligation first to accept that it has got a certain policy deficiencies that have resulted in these sanctions, and that it needs to present a checklist of reforms to the Americans. I think that is a wrong starting point, because Zimbabwe as a sovereign nation, you have no obligation whatsoever to be answered to another fellow nation, because the sanctions for starters are outside the framework of the United Nations Convention. And therefore, it would be irresponsible for anyone to want Zimbabwe to conform to the bullying of the Americans outside the international statutes. But then, let's go to the merits of the subject at the end. The first thing is that these sanctions have always been there. They are a perennial feature of America and other Western countries as hatred for the Zimbabwean government pursuant to its progressive nationalization of the economy through the land reform program. And it is an initiative that seeks to prove to the world that Zimbabwe is going to be a failed state as long as it is not getting colonial support. And the sanctions, for me, are a pursuit of a clear neo-colonial agenda that is seeking to send a signal to other African countries. But if you repair from the centralized autonomy of global oligarchs such as America and Europe, then you go Zimbabwe's route.
Yes.
So I think as Africans, we need to appreciate sanctions from that very decolonial and anti-colonial standpoint,
because
the reflection of the West's continued regimen to the third world or to the global south.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line, Mr. Mwamba. Let me go to Mr. Dzokora. Mr. Dzokora, where does this leave the people of Zimbabwe, considering that the government has always been blaming sanctions, while some people point out that it's corruption that is actually affecting the economy?
So this is what we have always been saying as Zimbabwean citizens, and I think we have been vindicated now that it's not sanctions that is causing the massive poverty that was seeing in Zimbabwe. It is indeed corruption. Zimbabwe is losing billions of dollars through corruption. But no one in ZANU-PF, no one on the proponents of sanctions has ever told us how many billions are losing through sanctions or the so-called sanctions. And as you are seeing, the Americans have shown that they actually love Zimbabwe. They love the people of Zimbabwe. They have removed sanctions that were perceived or that ZANU-PF was using as propaganda to the people of Zimbabwe, saying that these are the ones that are causing the poverty. And they've introduced individual sanctions, which are called targeted sanctions. Targeted.
I think the connection is...
sanctions.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
What would sanctions against Mr. Mnangagwa, how would those sanctions affect the general Zimbabwean public? It's nothing. They would not affect any Zimbabwean at all. This is just like a embargo that so-and-so, Mr. Mnangagwa and his wife, cannot travel to the United States. That doesn't affect the economy of any country. It doesn't affect the general public of the
yes, thank
you. You see now, what is Zimbabwe happening? Not blame anyone for the,
thank you.
Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much,
Can I come back a
yes,
little bit
Mr. Dzokora, thank you so much. Please go ahead. Mention your name.
It's still Professor Masocha.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about the sovereignty of Zimbabwe. Of course, Zimbabwe is a sovereign country. But let's not hide behind being sovereign when we are using America's money. We lose our independence if we are not able to come up with our own currency and we say we are independent, we are sovereign, we don't listen to the United States, and then we go behind the scenes and beat our chest and say, well, we have an economy that is using another country's currency.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we lose our sovereignty because America can do whatever they want with us because we can't get off it.
Mm. Thank you so much. Mr. Mwamba, I think you heard what Professor Masocha just said. He said, you talked about sovereignty, but Zimbabwe is using the American currency. Where is the sovereignty here?
Yeah, but the professor forgets that there is something in international relations that is called the complex interdependence of the global system, where a certain part of the world provides raw materials and labor, and in reverse, there is a currency that comes and all of that. And the fact that we have got the US dollar in Zimbabwe, it is because we have got a geological complex in terms of minerals that are able to cause us actually have that currency. So to say the fact that we have got the American currency amongst the many other currencies that we have in Zimbabwe does not depict that our sovereignty should be subsidized to the Americans. America's growth or its current predominance is based on the 400 years of Africa's underdevelopment. And therefore, I see the use of the U.S. dollar in Africa as part of the restitutive process of the global south. And it is therefore narrow for anyone to think that because you've got the American dollar in Tanzania, you've got the American dollar in Zimbabwe, it is a reflection of how African countries do not have autonomy over existential autonomy. So I think that is an argument that is really not based on a historical comparison of facts and an appreciation of, you know, inherent concepts such as of international relations, such as the complex interdependent theory.
Thank you so much.
Well, I agree with the president of Zimbabwe.
Professor Masocha, ndaenda uya kwamuri ndachida kundingopa mukana kuna vadzokora tinzwe pfungwa dzavo vachitaura nerurimi rwamai vadzokora muchiri parunhare here?
Ndiripo zviri kutaurwa nevakuru vebukuru ZANU-PF ndozvatogara tichitaura isu kuti vanonyepera kuti nyaya yenyika, nyika yedu yaenda kumawere, nyika yedu vanhu vari kutambura nenyaya yemasanctions. Ipapa kuri kunzwa zvavari kutaura kuti vanenge vachiti kuAmerica vanoda maUS dollars, vanoda kushandisa mari yemaAmericans, asi havadi kutevedzera zvinenge zvichitaurwa nemaAmericans, zvinenge zvichitaurwa nevekune dzimwe nyika. Nyaya yezvirango zveupfumi yakatangira panyaya yekutyorwa kwekodzero dzevanhu, vanhu vachisungwa, vanhu vachiurayiwa, vanhu vachipondwa. Takaviga Blessing Ali zuro rine nekuti akangopondwa, hapana vanhu vakasungwa. Job Scull akagara mujeri kwanokwana makore maviri, hapana akabuda asina mhosva. Vakawanda vanhu vari kusungwa, vanhu vari kupondwa nekutambura kukuita vana veZimbabwe. Zvese izvozvo hazvinei nemasanctions, zvine chekuita nemismanagement of the economy. Saka ZANU-PF vanhu vedu vemuno muZimbabwe vanohwanda nemunwe vachiti sanctions. Zvino iko zvinezvi hakusisina, havanga vachiti masanctions acho anga achiafecta nyika, abviswa ose, kwasara, ende zvida kuti vanhu veZimbabwe vazvizive vakateerera, kwasara anonzi matargeted sanctions, maindividual sanctions, asingabate maindustry, asingabate zvinhu zvinoita kuti nyika ifambire mberi.
Mr. Dzokora, if I may interrupt you, Mr. Dzokora, but there is still the JERA in effect. Are they not going to use that as a scapegoat?
Yes, the JERA is there. The JERA will remain there until the Zimbabwean government stops abusing the Zimbabwean people. You know, as I said, sanctions were put because of the human rights abuses. Let us also see the government addressing the massive human rights abuses that we are seeing every day. It's as simple as that. Why are you killing your own people?
Why are you
arresting your own people arbitrarily?
Thank you so much. Let me go to Professor Masocha. I know you're itching to respond. Professor Masocha, the JERA is still in effect, and the effects of sanctions removed or the removal of the sanctions may not be seen on the Zimbabwean economy because of the JERA sanctions.
Oh yeah, definitely it's going to take time if there is going to be anything that is going to be seen to positively affect the Zimbabwean economy. But before I even go there, I wanted to respond to the person who talked, in favor of sovereignty and the economy of Zimbabwe. The president of Zimbabwe, Mr. Mnangagwa himself, came out publicly and said there is no country in the world that ever developed using another country's money. So let's not hide behind, international relations and this and that, when we all know that using another country's money will not get us anywhere. Using the U.S. dollar will not get us anywhere. We have failed. Okay, we have failed to introduce our currency, and that's pushing us backwards. Mm-hmm. It's pushing us backwards because there's no way we can refuse to listen to the United States of America when we are using their money as the main currency in our country. Let's be open. I agree with the president of Zimbabwe. I agree with Mr. Chiwenga as well. And coming to sanctions, of course, what has been done by the United States of America is going to open up some business opportunities between U.S. companies and, some of the international companies in Zimbabwe. But the result, is not going to be seen as quickly as people may want to, where we are going to see the creation of jobs. We need jobs. People need jobs. The government of Zimbabwe need jobs because they will get taxes from people.
Thank you so much, Professor Masocha. Mr. Makomva, your response and also your thoughts on the Zidera.
So, the starting point is that it is not true to confine the argument to the narrative of corruption and to say that it is corruption that has created Zimbabwe's problems. It would be only naive Africans or Africans that are subscribed to colonial interests would want to ascribe our current problems to the discourse of human rights. And it would be problematic for any African to be in favor of a policy proposition that seeks to harm issues of economic nationalization. But most importantly, we must focus on that the issue around the targeted functions. It is a lie in the sense that you are going to have a situation whereby, in as much as certain companies are removed from that function list, you are going to have a situation whereby the economy won't have a speed recovery as anticipated. Therefore, to argue, now that these sanctions are gone, we want to see what ZANU-PF will say. But the ZANU-PF government is a victim of the very same sanctions
that
have actually created for 20 years. And you can't expect the damage of 20 years within a year or within months. It's going to take some time. And it's working in favor of the Americans and the territorial interest that they have, because they actually wanted to this policy as early as prior to our elections, as part and parcel of an election strategy that they were using in favor of
the opposition
to say when they remove sanctions.
Thank you, Mr. Mahomba. Let me just read the two, three comments from listeners. We're trying to bring in listener. Okay, we now have a listener. Let's hear from our listener. Hello?
Hello?
Taura Itinswe.
Hello?
Yes, Taura. Thank you so much. Regaitins, Kubakuna, Dina, Professor Masocha, 30 seconds, your last word.
Yeah, but, you know, my sanctions are really positive. Of course, I know affect, you know, when Wakawanda, when Abatobos, you would hear it's very good diaspora. Like, here in Nipachangu, my sanctions are actually Akatun the Africa, Mariangu, blockewa. Yeah, if I could attend stand ku Zimre, simply because I put in the name Zimre in the bank transfer, Maria Chiaka block you. Saka, as soon as you know to Vara, it was good to answer to develop by Nikayed, which means Urmende, you know, Palakushanda, Saka Simba, Kuona, Kutima Sanchez, Aya, Apere, no Kuta or Iran,
Kutan,
Makovna Matit.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our show. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank our guest, Mr. Richard Runyararo Mahomva, who is the Director for International Communications Services in the Ministry of Information, Mr. Tawanda Dzokora, Political Analyst, and Professor Eliot Masocha, an economist, signing off. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington saying, please continue supporting Studio 7. We are here for you.